world is theologically drunk. It's psychologically inebriated. It's feeding on myths.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject material is the burden of the ministry. As Paul saw it, Paul was incarcerated in a Roman dungeon, and he was facing imminent death, and he was not preoccupied with his own suffering and circumstance, but he was preoccupied with the continuing ministry of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 8, we see there the burden of the Apostle Paul for the continuance of that ministry. Every one of us ought to share Paul's burden for the Christian ministry. And every one of us ought to purpose to fulfill our part in that ministry, to discern our part in fulfilling that ministry, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and then redeeming the time because the days are evil, discerning and then fulfilling our part in the Christian ministry. As I look at 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8, it seems to me that there are two great factors that seem to be occupying the mind of the Apostle Paul as he identifies for us his burden in connection with the Christian ministry. One would be the proclamation of God's Word. It seems to me that is the first great factor with which he occupies his mind. Proclamation, the proclamation of the Word of God. And that is reflected in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And that's a part of the message that we looked at a week ago. We saw there an emphasis on content. Preach the Word. What are we to proclaim? We're to preach the Word. We talked about those words. And then we saw an emphasis on character. What are the characteristics of this proclamation? Paul said, I want it to be urgent, be instant in season, out of season. I want it to be relevant, reprove, rebuke, exhort, depending on the specific need in a given situation. I want it to be a patient proclamation with all long-suffering. In this passage of Scripture is not only this emphasis on proclamation, that's a part of his burden, but Paul knew that the times were difficult in which Timothy was living, and he knew that Timothy was a timid individual, and he was frequently encouraging Timothy in this connection, and he knew that the times were less than ideal, and so he issues not only a charge, an imperative, a characterization of the ministry, I want you to proclaim God's Word, but he also issues, as well as the charge, some incentives, some motivations. And really, I think he gives three in this passage. In verse 1, he appeals to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's a motivation to carry out the ministry, to proclaim the Word of God. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He reminds him of the coming of Jesus Christ, and that is an awesome motivation to fulfill our task as proclaimers of the message of God. Then the second motivation that Paul gives in this passage is not only the motivation of the coming of Christ, as it appears in verse 1, but then he appeals secondly to the contemporary scene, and that's in verses 3, 4, and 5. He describes the time in which Timothy lives. And this rather bleak picture of the contemporary scene is not designed to discourage Timothy, but to motivate him. It is designed to motivate him to redouble his efforts to minister to the world in which he lives. The deeper and the more intensive the darkness, the greater the demand for the light. As I look at verses 3 to 5, really there are two things that stand out to me as we look at the second motivation that Paul gives to Timothy to proclaim the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to be instant in season and out of season, and so on. There are really two things that stand out to me in verses 3 to 5. The first is the Christian's great challenge, and that is the problem he will face. That's in verses 3 and 4. And then the second is the Christian's great calling in the light of that challenge, the prescription that Paul outlines for us in the face of the great problem that we face. In verses 3 and 4, we have first the Christian's great challenge. And he says the challenge is twofold. He says the people to whom we minister will have a twofold problem. One, they will have itching ears. Do you notice that in verse 3? And it's only a short step from itching ears to utterly insensitive ears. And that's what he describes in verse 4. We go from opposition to the truth to outright defection from the truth. It's in the fourth verse of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The negative expression of insensitive ears is they turn away their ears from the truth. They turn away their ears from the truth. The word turn away means to reject. It means to repudiate. It carries with it the idea of deliberate, premeditated desertion of the truth. Having turned away their ears from the truth, the Bible says that they turned unto fables. They turned unto fables. You know, defection from the truth creates a vacuum, and nature always abhors a vacuum, and so do men. Nature always rushes in upon a vacuum and crushes it out of existence. And whenever we defect from the truth, whenever we reject the truth, we create an intellectual and a spiritual and a moral vacuum. And it has to be filled up with something. And so Paul says it's being filled up with fables. Now, I want to tell you, you and I are living out our lives right in the midst of myriads of fables. Have you ever thought about some of our modern myths? What are some of the modern myths or fables which have captivated the minds of men in our day and age? There's a fable that has sprung up regarding man's primitive origin. We are told in a widely accepted modern fable that we are nothing more than a highly organized system of molecules. That's one fable that has arisen around man's being, man's primitive origin. But there's another fable. It relates to man's, what I would call man's primary purpose. Why is man here on earth? You know, there are a series of fables which have arisen in various parts of the world explaining man's primary purpose and meaning here on earth. Jesus says that man's primary purpose is not to be found in communism, acquiescence to the state. It's not to be found in hedonism, abandonment to self-gratification. It's not to be found in materialism, the accumulation of wealth and prosperity and possessions. Man's primary purpose, his deepest meaning and sense of fulfillment, is to be found in his own relationship with God Almighty as you place your faith in the Son of God. There's one final myth, and that has to do with man's personal problems. Man is a sinner, and there is a myth that has arisen regarding his performance. We're told in a widely accepted fable that man's defective behavior is not constitutional. It's superficial. His defective behavior is not due to something within him, but something without him. Inwardly, he's basically good, but it's these outward influences that motivate him to do evil. God says, no, the man doesn't need a new house. No, the man doesn't need a new environment. No, the man doesn't need another PhD degree. What he needs is a new nature. What he needs is a new heart. What he needs is to be born again. He needs to receive Christ. He needs the regenerative influence of the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in his being. He needs that dead human spirit impregnated with the life of Jesus Christ. When he has that, he'll be a new creature. He'll learn how to behave. He'll have character, and he'll have conduct to match that character. God emphatically does not say that we are not guilty or not to blame. He faces us squarely with our guilt, our willing cooperation with evil, and he speaks forthrightly of the penalty that must be paid. But then God argues that the penalty has already been fully paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, McLaughlin, you have sinned. McLaughlin, you are guilty, but you can be forgiven. You can be a new creature in Christ. I only ask that you bow before Christ, and that's the hardest thing in the world for modern man to do, to bow before the Son of God. These are the fables to which our world has been subjected. And there are many sophists, false teachers, who have promulgated them. They've turned the hearts of men away from the truth. Now, what are you and I to do in the face of that? I don't have time to preach this, but I'll just give you the outline. The great challenge of the Christian is verses 3 and 4. The great calling of the Christian is verse 5. Do you notice what he says we're to do in the face of this great challenge? He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he's saying to you and me, Christian? This is for you and me now. He's saying, do you want to minister to this devastated culture in which you live, which has resisted the truth and turned away from the truth and been immersed in fables? Do you want to minister to them? Then number one, you must be sober. Watch. The Greek word is nephein. It means to be sober. And it means this. The whole world is theologically drunk. It's psychologically inebriated. It's feeding on myths. In the midst of that, you are to be sane and sensible. You're to be sober and free from every form of mental and spiritual stupefaction. Be sober. While others are abandoning the truth, you Christians adhere to the truth. While the world has gone insane, you maintain your sanity. While the world has gone mad, you be sensible by adhering to the truth of God's word. Be sober. And then he says, secondly, be sacrificial. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Be sacrificial. In a world gone crazy with falsehood, Christians are tempted to mute certain elements of the gospel, those elements which are least likely to be received and most likely to be resisted. They want to silence those and preach that message which will only be popular. Paul says, don't do that. Preach the whole counsel of God's word. Preach every bit of it. And be willing to endure afflictions in the midst of it. Be sacrificial. And then thirdly, Christian, do you want to minister to your world? One, be sober. While others abandon the truth, you adhere to it. Don't be the victim of modern crazes. Build your life on the solid foundation of God's word. Your marriage, your family, your personal life, build it on the solid foundation of God's word. Be sober, and then be sacrificial. Be willing to pay a price to announce that message. And then thirdly, be salvatory. Do the work of an evangelist. Never abandon the world to its lostness. Develop a deep burden for those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. See them in their desperate plight, their perilous condition. See them bound for a Christless eternity. See them bound for hell. And do what is necessary to bring them the message that will deliver them from that destiny. Do the work, and it is work, of an evangelist. Some of us need to work this next week to prepare our hearts for a week of evangelism. Some of us have some friends and some neighbors, some loved ones and some relatives, some people we work with who need to be exposed to the message of the evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. And then finally he says, be steadfast. Be sober, watch thou on all things. Be sacrificial, endure afflictions. He says, be salvatory, do the work of an evangelist, and finally be steadfast. Make full proof of thy ministry. The constant badgering of a hostile world tempts the Christian to pull up short of what God intended. Paul says, don't do that. Paul says, carry your ministry forward to completion. That's what it means, make full proof of. Carry your ministry forward to completion in spite of anything and everything. It's only as we finish the work that God has given to us to do that we glorify God. Jesus said that. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Paul says, be steadfast, Christian. You've begun. Don't quit. Be steadfast. And that's how you minister to this calamitous world. Here's the Christian's great challenge. A world that is marked by itching and insensitive ears and is turned to fables. That's not designed to discourage us. That's designed to motivate us to redouble our efforts to serve the Lord Jesus. So God says to us, I close now. God says to us, the microbes of evil, the deformities caused by sin and the curse will only consume you if you reject the truth. Mankind's modern fables will lead you and your society only downward. They will lead you away from freedom and wisdom from heaven and from Jesus Christ himself. So God is extending an invitation to every one of us today to receive the truth by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and find the release that only he can give. Maybe your minds have been immersed in the modern fables. You've rejected and refused and turned away from the truth, but God is speaking to your heart about the emptiness of your life, and he's inviting you to come to the Son of God, to receive him as your Lord and Savior and find the release and the nobility and the purpose and the forgiveness that only he can give. And there's a message for God's people as well. And the message is this, Christians, in the face of such rampant apostasy, people turned away from the truth unto fables, in the face of such rampant apostasy, I urge you to forsake your apathy. Do not be apathetic. In the face of this apostasy, forsake your apathy and redouble your efforts in ministry to such a world. Be sober. Be sacrificial. Be salvatory. Do the work of an evangelist. Be steadfast. Carry your ministry full forward to completion for the glory of God.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Christ has abolished death. Paul had written that. Paul had preached it. Paul believed it, and he was about to practice it.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.